If there hadn't been this latest surge in cases, we might have thought that we were getting back to some kind of normal. As it is, case counts have gone up significantly, not just in Iowa, not just in red states, not just in the United States, but in the entire Northern Hemisphere. In light of this, the governing authorities have recommended that we all stay home for Thanksgiving, and so we can just add this one more part to the list of things that we thought would never happen. Before this pestilence came upon us, I never thought that Christians would be prevented from gathering in churches for Easter, and yet so it was. Not many families won't get together. Now many families won't get together for Thanksgiving, at least not in the same way that we're accustomed to. Who would have thought? But Easter was not canceled this year. Every element of Easter worship was fulfilled this year, as it is every year, by those who are Christians. For true worship is nothing other than faith. And most assuredly, there were Christians on Easter believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who rose from the dead. Even without meeting in large numbers or in a way that we normally do, even without receiving the sacrament that day, nothing was missing from the celebration of Easter for those Christians to whom faith in Christ had been given. For Jesus says in John 6 that his flesh can be eaten and his blood can be drunk by faith. Those who believe that his flesh is the living bread that has come down from heaven, and that if you eat this bread will live forever, most assuredly those folks have what Jesus says, because Jesus doesn't lie. As it was, Easter went on an involuntary diet. Lots of stuff went by the wayside. There were no large-scale Easter egg hunts. There were no large-scale ham dinners. But everything that was essential for Christian worship was there. For you have been given the promises of God concerning Christ. True worship is nothing other than believing God's promises, that those promises in Christ are true. This is pleasing to God when we honor Christ by believing what God has said about him. One of the ways that trying times, such as the one that we are living through, can be beneficial for us is that it reveals what is essential. When all the niceties go away, what does it mean to be a Christian? What is necessary for the Christian church to survive? The answer, again, is faith. When Peter identified Jesus as the Christ, Jesus told him that this confession is like an impregnable rock, and nothing is going to stand against it. The one who believes in Christ can stand up even against the very gates of hell. Not this Sunday, but the Sunday after that, you'll hear Jesus say in the gospel reading that heaven and earth not only might pass away, but they most certainly will pass away, and yet Jesus' words will never pass away. This is a very practical matter. It is applicable to times like ours when things are done differently than they normally are. Wherever there is faith in Christ, you may be assured that everything is going to turn out just fine, sooner or later. Or even if we are not dealing with these large-scale events, but quite personal tragedies and evils, the same applies. If you are sick unto death, and it's hard to breathe, and there's very little hope that you will recover, so long as you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, all things will turn out right. Heaven and earth will pass away, but Jesus' word will never pass away. And he says, whoever is baptized and believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. This means you are not dependent upon living forever in this world in order for you to be happy. Jesus will make you happy at that time that he has already predetermined for you. You are not dependent upon not getting sick with this virus in order to be happy. Any one of us could get the virus, regardless of how careful we might be. Is all lost if that should be the case? Or if we do get the disease, is our happiness dependent upon recovering and surviving? If that is the way that we think, then we are not Christians. Whether we should die of this disease or in some other way, Christians believe in the happiness that has been promised to us. We know that our Redeemer lives, even if this skin should be destroyed. Nevertheless, in our own flesh, we will see God. We will see him with our own eyes. Now we've arrived at Thanksgiving, and it's likely that our plans have changed. It's likely that our festivities have gone on an involuntary diet. We might not be cooking for a crowd, but might only be cooking for one or two. So is Thanksgiving canceled? No, it is not. At least for Christians, it is not. For Christians, this holiday is about giving thanks to God. It is not first and foremost about family gatherings, just as Easter is not about Easter eggs. This virus does not prevent you from giving thanks to God. In fact, this virus might just burn away the dross so that we learn something about giving thanks as Christians. For many, giving thanks is a matter of counting your blessings. That is to say, just look at all the stuff I have. What we can learn from Paul in particular is that we can be content and give thanks regardless of what situation we might find ourselves in. His little letter to the Philippians is sometimes called the Epistle of Joy because it's practically bursting with praise and thanksgiving. But as Paul himself says in that letter, he is writing the letter in chains. He's sitting in a prison as he writes it. And yet he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Or in another place he says, "We boast or rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope will not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." It is natural and easy to be on top of the world when everything is going splendidly and to be down in the dumps when things are going poorly. It is natural and easy to set our sights merely on the things of this world, as though our happiness may only be located and how things are going on this earth. It is something else to set your sights a little further out to the life of the world to come, to be far-sighted instead of short-sighted. When we are far-sighted, we might very well recognize that the suffering which God places upon us is for our eternal good. It might make us quit believing in an idol that we especially cherished, idols that have no power to save, even though they might give us a great deal of pleasure in this life. By being deprived of what we might otherwise want, we might be taught about what is really essential. What does it mean to be a Christian? How can I be sure of my salvation? These are by no means small questions. And learning the answers to these questions in the school of hard knocks leaves a much deeper impression than learning them in confirmation class. Plus, we might learn in a new and deeper way the everyday goodness of God that we so easily take for granted. we wicked sinners are so blind to the goodness of God that practically the only way that we can learn about the goodness of something is when it gets taken away. We don't know the goodness of health until we become sick. We don't give thanks for the sunshine until we've had to endure weeks and weeks of grayness. In the midst of all the disruptions caused by this pestilence that God has sent upon the earth, we might recognize what otherwise was taken for granted. Speaking for myself, I can say that I took for granted the ability to gather in person for worship. Meeting in the sanctuaries on Sundays ran like clockwork until it didn't. I took for granted that I could have Bible studies whenever I wanted, and anybody who wanted could join them. These were effortless and abundant. I don't think I ever once gave thanks for them. We don't know a good thing until it's gone. But all things work together for the good of those who love God. With the lessons of 2020, our eyesight has been adjusted. It seems to me that we as a congregation have not been harmed by what has happened. By and large, I think our people have learned to pray. We've learned to put not our trust in princes. As the hymn goes, trust not in rulers, they are but mortal. Earth born, and they are and soon decay. Vain are their counsels at life's last portal when the dark grave engulfs its prey. Since mortals can no help afford, place all your trust in Christ our Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. As members of a congregation, I think we better know what we are about than we did before. We better know why we are here. These teachings, and these teachings are by no means small teachings, couldn't have been better taught than through the bitter experiences of this year. So Thanksgiving has not been canceled. If anything, perhaps, it has been sharpened. When other things fall away, there's a better chance for us to really get it, for we're not distracted by other things. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Amen.